Good evening, Potter's Four Square Church, and welcome to our online Wednesday evening service. This is Pastor Paula, and tonight we're going to continue in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, and the title of this message is Do Not Worry, something that we have our usual things that we worry, but during this COVID-19 pandemic, I am sure we have new things that we tend to worry about, you know, what's in stock at the grocery store. When social distancing and stay-at-home orders have been lifted, what will that look like? Will we still be using masks? Will we only be able to gather in small groups? This is all things that are uncertain to us. You know, one of the things that I have worried about during this time is whether or not I was going to be able to see my newest grandchild. Our daughter Rachel and her husband Tyler had a baby on April 15th, and the original plan was to be there during the birth, but with all of the stay-at-home orders, we weren't able to go. But you know what? I just praise the Lord because, you know, yes, I did worry, and then I gave it over to the Lord, and I prayed, and I said, you know, God, you know what my heart wants, but I want what you want. And he made a way for me to come and visit, and to and it was in his timing. It wasn't mine. It was his timing. So it made all this perfect. So I'm actually recording this in Alaska. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or weep or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Father God, add blessing to your word. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see all that you have for us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So just three observations for you this evening. The first one is therefore. This word is used in the beginning and the end of this section of scripture. And if therefore is in there twice, then it's there to get our attention. It means that it's important. God wants to really stress his point. It also begs the question, what is it there for? So our first therefore is to remind us of the previous section of passage that Pastor Greg taught last week, that where our treasure is, that is where our heart will be also. The treasure we store up here on earth isn't going to last. You know, they're not going to last. The treasures that we store up in heaven, they're eternal. They're everlasting. You know, it's about choosing whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve money? You know, a choice has to be made, or your heart will be divided, and worry is going to set in. When we choose God, we will not need to worry. Our perspective, again, it will be an internal perspective, not a temporal one. And so as he starts off with this, he says, therefore, do not worry. Because God said, you know, you've made your choice. You made your choice to store up treasures in heaven. So there's no need to worry. And then at the end of this section, our second therefore says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Keep in mind, this last sentence is really key, that each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, we can only worry about today. You know, why worry about tomorrow when it hasn't even happened? It's going to have some worries and struggles of its own, but you know what? That's for another day. The time today, it's sufficient for today what we need to worry about, not what we need to be worrying about, but what we need to be concerned with, what we need to deal with on a regular day. My second observation is, you know, he says, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about when the stay-at-home orders will end or what our summer will be like or when we'll be back in school or when items at the store will be back in stock. You know, when will we be able to take a vacation again? You know, why worry about these things? There's more to life than that. You know, God points to the birds of the air and the beautiful flowers in the field and says, you know, look at them. You know, they don't work for what they have. And yet I take care of them. I know what they need and I provide for them. You know, they don't sow or reap or spin or toil. And then God asks this question, are you not more valuable than the birds and the flowers, O you of little faith? That suggests that when we worry, our faith is lacking. Because who are we trusting in? We're not trusting in our Heavenly Father. You know, it's not important the food we eat, the body that we wear. You know, worrying, he says, can't add an hour to your life. You know, why do you worry? You know, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? There's a lot more in this life than what we're going to wear and what we're going to eat or the places we're going to go. Don't worry about these things because even the pagans, even unbelievers, they worry after these things. They run after these things in their own strength and in their own power. And God says, you know, believers, non-believers, you all worry about these things. I know what you need. They're going to do it in their strength, but I want you to allow me to meet your need. When we allow God to meet our need, it's so much sweeter. It's so much sweeter. So he already knows what we need. And our third observation is that the key to not worrying is to first seek God's kingdom. Seek his kingdom and seek his righteousness. You know, when we seek after God's kingdom, we will have all we need because he will provide. You know, he knows better than what we need. Most of what we need isn't really a need. It's a want. It's these things that our eyes see that we lust after, that we crave. And God's like, you know what? I seek after me. Seek after me because I know what is best for you. And I know what you need. And I've got a work for you to do. And I'm going to do it in you and through you when you seek me. You know, in other words, he's saying, get your priorities straight. Get your priorities straight. Seeking after God's kingdom will increase your faith. And you'll come to realize that God is more important than anything this life has to offer. So in interpreting this, first, life is more than eating than drinking. This word life can also be translated heart, mind, and soul. So your life is your entire being, your heart, your mind, and your soul. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You know, guys, when we choose to live for God, to love him with our entire being, you know what? Our worry, it turns to trust. And our trust, it turns to faith in his provision. And our faith turns to standing on his promises. We all know the story of Noah. And Noah was a righteous man and he was blameless. He walked faithfully with God. So when God called upon him to build an ark, he didn't hesitate. He didn't stop and worry about what people were going to say about him, about what living in this ark was going to look like. You know, was he going to have enough provisions? When God calls upon us to do something, is our first reaction to worry? Well, you know what, Lord, I just don't know that I can do that. What will people say? You know, they're going to go, you really? God picked you? Or maybe they might make fun of me because they don't think that I'm qualified. But when we're seeking after God, when we're righteous in his sight, when we're blameless and faithfully walking with him, when he calls us to something, then we should be ready to say without hesitation, without fear, without worry, you know what? Yes, God, I am here. And not to worry about what the plan looks like because he's usually going to lay it out a little at a time. So Noah and his family, they were in this ark for just over a year. Quarantined, if you will, only with one another and a bunch of smelly animals. And we think we have it bad, guys. At least we can go outside. You know, we can breathe fresh air. I've really enjoyed the fresh and crispness of the air here in Alaska. And of course, the skies are so blue, clouds everywhere, one of my favorite things. You know, it's beautiful. You know, we can soak in the sun's rays. We can feel the warmth of the sun. And there's just, I love that. I personally love being out in the sun. I miss going to the beach, but I enjoy to be able to at least go out in my front yard or my backyard and just sit there and enjoy the warmth of the sun. You know, we can FaceTime with family and friends. Noah and his family couldn't see anybody because the Lord had destroyed everyone by a flood on the earth, all the people and all the animals, all the vegetation, everything that was left. He had totally destroyed that with this flood, all except Noah and his family. You know, we get to get takeout from our favorite restaurant. You know, I can just hear Noah's wife now, you know, we're having pheasant again tonight. You know, there weren't a lot of options there, even though God provided animals for eating and animals for sacrifice and animals for repopulating the earth. They still had, you know, were limited their choices, and yet we can go out and still get takeout. When they finally left the ark, the first thing Noah did was to build an altar to the Lord. I don't know about you, but if I was in an ark for over 100 years, I don't think that would be my first thing. My first thing would probably be, I'm going to run down to Chick-fil-A and get myself some of their grilled nuggets. I love their grilled nuggets, and a Diet Dr. Pepper to go with it. You know, or maybe it would be, I'm going to run over and see my friends and check out up on them, you know, run and see my grandchildren that I haven't been able to see because of being of the stay-at-home orders. But just like Noah, what he made of his time in the ark, he was still blameless. He was still righteous. He was still following after God. And I'm certain he was still teaching his family and setting that example for him. So what we make out of this time during the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, what we trust in, who and what we put our faith in, what we seek after will determine what we will do once this is all over. I hope that we're all seeking after God, and that in our moments of weakness when we worry and maybe have little pity parties, that we will be quick to turn our eyes back onto Jesus and say, you know what, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to seek after your kingdom, after your righteousness, because I know that you have something greater for me. Romans 14:17 tells us the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of godliness and peace and joy in the Spirit. Number two in interpretation, life is about seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. Seeking the kingdom of God is to focus on and fully experience a relationship with God. Are you fully experiencing that relationship? You know, are you seeking after it? Are you daily getting up in his word, being in his word, in prayer, in all those things that God, being still before him so that you can hear his voice, even fasting. We really need to be fasting for our presidents and our governors and all those in authority for wisdom, fasting for healing of those who have the COVID-19 virus, for those who are working to take care of them, that they are protected. There's so much that we can be doing. This is all what it is to seek God, to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. You know, seeking the kingdom of God is living by God's power, and there is power in prayer. Seeking God's kingdom is walking in the Spirit. On Sundays, Pastor Greg has been taking us through this wonderful series on the Holy Spirit. You know, it's walking in the Spirit in love, having that peace, patience, goodness, being faithful to the Lord, being in self-control. You know, this has been a crazy time, and you know, there's probably been times when we haven't felt that we were in control and we got a little out of control in our thinking or our behavior or our attitudes or maybe even the way we've spoken to our family members. You know, it's utilizing the gifts of the Spirit. God wants to use us to be a light in the midst of this pandemic. He wants us to be a witness to others of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. And in return, we will be able to serve others. We will be able to help them and show them the love of Christ. Life is more than eating and drinking. It is more than what we're going to wear. It's about reaching others for Christ. It's seeking God's kingdom in order to worship Him, to desire Him, to hunger after Him without any labor or toil, to completely be abandoned to His will, totally abandoned to His will. Psalm 42:1 says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." Is your soul panting for God the way that a deer pants for water when they're thirsty? They get down and they just lap up that water. Are you sitting before the Lord and saying, "You know what, God, my soul, it longs for you. I need you to nourish my soul with your word. Fill me up, Father God." The third thing I have for you this evening is that life is about living for today. Seeking the kingdom of God doesn't mean that everything we worry about is going to get fixed. But it does mean that we don't worry about tomorrow. We don't get all worked out up about what may or may not happen. God has won the victory. The battle is the Lord's. Whatever concerns us, whatever worries us, remember that God's got this. He is victorious in our lives. Instead, focus on what God is doing today in the moment, knowing that He will do the same tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, you know, God will be there. He'll be waiting for us. Focus on today. Seek Him today. Seek Jesus while He can be found. Our focus will no longer be on temporal things of the earth, but on eternal things, because seeking the kingdom of God does mean that it will be the catalyst by which we go from worry to worship of God. Again, let me say that once again. Seeking the kingdom of God does mean that it will be the catalyst by which we go from worry to worship of God. Our trust will be in the power of God over our lives, reducing the need to worry. So in applying this tonight, you know, we can't get yesterday back, so why worry about it? Tomorrow isn't promised to us, so worrying about it won't add a single hour to our life. So again, why worry about it? Today is the present, and it's a gift from God. Are you going to waste your time worrying, or are you going to embrace every moment by seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness? The choice is ours. We can choose whom we're going to serve. Are we going to serve the things of this world, or are we going to serve God? Are we going to worry about the things of this world, or are we going to seek God in His kingdom, seek God's kingdom and His righteousness? When we seek Him with all that we are, we need to seek Him with our entire being. "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart," Jeremiah 29:13 says. When we seek Him, let's stand on His promises, for they're yes and amen, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Philippians 4:19 says, "He will meet all our needs according to His glorious riches in Jesus." That's a promise that we can stand on during this time of the COVID-19 pandemic. And 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." You know, God's not a stingy God. He's a generous God. Seek Him. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and He's going to provide the things that you need. And the cool thing is, He says, there's going to be enough left over so that you can share it with others. And it's not just the material things that you'll have to share with others, but it's God's goodness, because He pours it out in abundance. His righteousness is poured out in abundance. His love is poured out in abundance. And when He pours that into us, there is so much, and it's going to overflow to the point that we're going to be able to pour that out and give that to others so that they too may know God's righteousness. They will know His love. They will know His provision. While we're seeking God, let's put our hope in Him. Isaiah 40:32 says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." When we're seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness, and our hope is renewed, our hope is strengthened. Because during this time, we may have times of feeling weak and worry setting in. But God says, you know what? When you hope on me, you're going to be renewed. Your strength will be renewed, because we know that in our weakness, we are strong in Jesus Christ. And lastly, Psalm 22:3, praise him, for he inhabits the praises of his people. When we praise God, he inhabits those praises. He's always with us. So this evening, church, let's seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. And all that we have, all that we need, all that is beneficial will be added unto us. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your righteousness, for your kingdom, for your provision, for all that you do for us, Lord. I pray that we would not worry, but that we would seek you first, that we would allow you to fill our hearts, to meet those physical and spiritual and emotional needs that we have, Lord. We want all your goodness, Father God. We want all that is eternal. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that tomorrow when they wake, and myself as well, that will be the first thing that we do, that we will wake up and we will seek you, we will praise you, and we will honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening this evening. And if you have been listening and maybe you don't know the Lord, and you're like, I don't know how to seek after God's kingdom, I don't know what it means to seek his righteousness, well, all you need to do is just say a simple prayer. You just need to ask Jesus right where you're at. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I know that you went to the cross for my sins. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. I want to seek after your kingdom. I want to seek after your righteousness. And that's all you need to do. And God will come right in, and he will fill your life with good things, with blessings. He will be there in the midst of your worries and concerns. He will help you walk through this time as you seek him. And if that's you, you know, we just ask, give us a call. There's a contact under the contact section. There's a phone number for the church, and you can call that number and let us know that you were listening. Let us know that you accepted the Lord, because we want to just praise the Lord with you. And if you need prayer, we'd be happy to pray with you. You will get a recording, but if you want a live person, the emergency number is Pastor Greg's number. So if you call that, you're going to get Pastor Greg. So God bless you, and have a wonderful rest of your week. Good night.